Oh, you're listening to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out is a public affairs program produced by WRCT that discusses the news from a perspective left out of the mainstream media. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program is produced, as ever, by Molly Meyer. Listeners are welcome to call us. In fact, we'd be really welcome calls today in particular at 412-268-9728. Or you can also send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info, no punctuation. And we'll monitor mail during the program. So that's 268-9728. So we want to begin today's program with a brief mention of sad events in Iraq today. An Italian journalist named Giuliana Sgrena, who was a writer for Il Manifesto, which is an Italian newspaper, was reported to be killed after having been kidnapped late last week. There was an announcement of her being released, but then today in Cairo, I believe, or in Egypt, there was an announcement by some shadowy organization, not clear who it is exactly, claiming that they had killed her on the grounds that she was spying for the American army. It seems I mentioned this event as one amongst many. There are many journalists who were murdered and otherwise killed accidentally or otherwise in Iraq as a result of the Iraq War, but this one is particularly significant for me because it's a very close friend of mine. So Giuliana was, as I said, was a journalist for Il Manifesto, which is nominally a communist newspaper in Italy, but the meanings of the phrases are not the same as they might be here. So let's say a left-wing newspaper in Italy, who is really well known for her work in the field and for obviously as injecting herself into dangerous situations to get to the heart of the story. On the Left Out website, we have a link to a memorial page for her that is published on the Il Manifesto website. However, there's an English version page that we've linked to, so you can have a look at that. It would be appreciated if you would do that. And I would just like to say that the reality-based community, of which I count myself and Danny and I count ourselves to be a member, mourns her passing.
I just have one comment about this. In general, the fact that journalists who aren't embedded with the U.S. military are at great danger in Iraq has been one of the reasons why the reporting has been so one-sided, one of the many reasons.
Yeah, so she was an example of someone who was not playing that game and risked her life, and it seems we can still hope that perhaps it isn't true because sometimes things are said and announced and everything is shadowy and unclear, but it does seem that she has paid with her life for her courage. So we're sorry to hear of that today. Speaking of sad news, another topic today, we'd like to talk about the Bush administration's proposed budget, which was released today. Many of our listeners have probably had a look at it, and you may wish to discuss it. If you would like to, you can call us at 412-268-9728. So as usual with the Bush administration, you know, the Republicans play by different rules than the rest of us. They have a different notion of reality. They have a different notion of truth and honesty and integrity in government, different notion of morality. And they're allowed to make things up as they go along. So today they announced in typical fashion that they are very proud of their budget because it reduces and eliminates redundancy, and whatever that means. And of course, everything hinges on exactly what you mean by redundancy. But as anyone who has paid any attention at all to the reality of what the Bush administration does, as opposed to the rhetoric with which it wraps it. It will come as no surprise that what the nature of this budget is. This is now the payback. This is the beginning of the payback for all the people who were suckered by Bush's posturing and Bush's lies, for the beginning of the payback for the really directly attacking the interests, mm-hmm. I think, of the average citizen. So we'll mention, just to get things started, the deepest cuts were in the Education Department. 48 programs were being cut. the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, there's a shocker. I mean, after all, W is the environmental president, isn't he? I think that's what he called himself in the debates.
I thought
it was
particularly ironic that he cut $45 million from the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research, of course, after saying that we need more research on the question of global climate change. And his response is to cut the budget for global climate for research on global climate change. So that just shows you how...
Well, your problem is you, like me, are a member of the reality-based community and are interested in the facts, and
yeah.
These guys most definitely are not. So they cut the EPA, which included a half-billion-dollar program. That's billion with a B. Half-billion-dollar, $500 million program to help poor communities build wastewater treatment plants. They cut the energy. These are all the proposals, of course, and this will be hashed out in the Congress, but it's a clear statement of intention. They cut the Energy Department. In particular, they eliminated oil and gas research and development programs, so you can forget about any kind of ideas about conservation. That's completely out the window. Of course, we knew that. This is no surprise. Of course, there were all these cuts. There were cuts to the Bureau of Indian Affairs. There was now an increase in the charges for medical services and prescriptions to veterans. Oh, yes. Support our troops. The Republican, you know, we all know it's axiomatic. The Republicans support our troops, and we liberals hate America and hate our troops. And as an example of the behavior that the Republicans would like us to emulate would be to add to the burden already imposed on U.S. servicemen by having them pay a $250 a year fee to have access to medical care and to more than double the copayment requirement on their prescriptions. This is These are people, you know, by and large, I'm really, as usual, I'm thinking about the low end, right? I'm thinking about the privates, the enlisted men, the guys who work their way up to sergeant if they're really accomplished. They're not making a lot of money. Not to mention officers all the way up the line. Let's just say, you know, well, let's look at the worst of them, which is also the worst off of them, which are also the most numerous. And those are the people that they're kicking in the butt. Their idea is, well, they're going to recruit all these soldiers from guess where, from the poor neighborhoods. They're going to take the most
poor
and disadvantaged people, shove them in the army and the military, send them off to Iraq, send them off to Afghanistan, send them off on some other folly. And then, amongst many other things, one of their moves is to increase the amount of money that they have to spend on their medical care. And I can tell you, you know, for someone who's, let's say, a young person, a new enlistee, enlisted soldier, enlisted man, low-ranking, you know, enlisted person, $250 a year is one hell of a lot of money. And it's amazing that they have the cheek to do this. But, of course, you know, when you live in Republican world, as we do, all of this goes absolutely unmentioned. This is like, minor little footnote of a detail about the budget.
Yeah. But, of course, you figure out what they're really coming from by reading these footnotes and looking at what they actually do and not listening to what they actually say.
When are people going to learn?
There's an analogy I thought of. Bob mentioned that they play by these different set of rules. And examples that have come up recently are things like the Texas redistricting in the middle of the instead of right at the census, they did it at a random time and to redistrict to increase the number of Republican congressmen by, I don't know, five people or something. A huge blow. But the different rules are also, you know, not telling the truth or just blatantly lying about things and not being called on it. They figured this out. One of the things that struck me is that, you know, as a professor at CMU, I'm involved in a lot of activities, some of which have a sort of conflict of interest. For example, I'm supposed to be helping my students, my undergrads, to get good jobs or to get into good graduate schools by writing letters of recommendation. At the same time, I'm trying to promote Carnegie Mellon's graduate program by getting the best students to come here. So one way I could do that is I could simply write a letter from the best students of CMU, write bad letters to the other universities, and then write good letters to the CMU admissions committee, and they would get into CMU, and I get into Stanford and Berkeley and anywhere else. That would be an example of the kind of thing that I think would be analogous to what the Bush administration does.
You just blatantly serving your own interests at the expense of the everyone else.
Right, and ostensibly saying you're not doing it all along.
All the while lying about it. Yeah, it's amazing. You can call us if you wish to discuss the Bush budget. It's quite an outrage. Telephone number here is 412-268-9728. That's WRCT, 268-WRCT. Or you can send mail to Bob at leftout.info. Now, continuing on the budget, so of course, it's no surprise whatsoever that all of the deepest cuts were in the programs that benefit the little guy. And guess what? You know, I hope you're sitting down. You'll be flabbergasted. But guess what? They continue to push through their plans for $1.1 trillion in tax cuts through 2015, so over the next 10 years. $1.1 trillion with a T dollars in tax cuts, which largely, of course, go to the wealthy. For example, their cuts that they have put in with a sunset clause, with a big fake sunset clause for the estate tax, and for the cuts in capital gains tax and the cuts in inheritance. Well, that's the inheritance tax, the estate tax, and so on. These are the taxes that they wish to continue and institute even more, to the tune of $1.1 trillion. That, of course, is not redundant.
Oh, it's not the estate tax. It's the death tax. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, so they're replacing the death tax by a birth tax, because what they're doing now is imposing an enormous deficit and burden on the future generations of Americans, the ones who are being born today.
What is the budget deficit? Is it currently like something like $80,000
per person?
Per person? So that's what you're...
I'd have to do the arithmetic during the break to figure that out, but it's an enormous amount of money. Of course, there are increases in military spending, which has now increased by 40% since 2001.
40% in real dollars?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that offhand. Even if it were in nominal dollars, the inflation rate is so low, it's not going to change significantly. The meaning over 3 years, 4 years, that's not so important. So now here's the other thing. Of course, they're very proud, these cuts, of course, are absolutely necessary in order to balance the budget. After all, we just criticized them for imposing a birth tax. Oh, but then what makes you think that the budget has any relation to reality at all? The budget as proposed includes no cost whatsoever for the wars of aggression, the wars of choice in Iraq. That we are conducting, and who knows what other ones we may be conducting.
That's not in the budget at all.
That is not budgeted for at all. Now, we know that's already cost us $160 billion, and next week they will be proposing another $81 billion supplemental, as they like to say, for paying for the war in Iraq. $81 billion with a B dollars. And this is, so we'll be up to $250 billion for Iraq, and it will keep going. Don't worry. We'll be paying a lot more for that. So that somehow doesn't make it into the budget for some reason. I guess because we're not sure whether we're going to be there or not. I don't know what the argument is. So that's not there at all. The other thing that's not there at all is the enormous cost in the multiple trillions of dollars over 10 years to support the lunatic privatization scheme for Social Security. The Republicans, as you know,
that's not in the
are
budget.
Working very hard to dismantle Social Security. We'll talk more about that a little bit later in the program. But regardless of what you may think about it, we can talk about the merits of their proposal, of which there are none, later. But what we can certainly say is that it represents an enormous burden on the economy, and there will be trillions of dollars that need to be borrowed in order to put this scheme into place. That's not on the budget either. So none of this is counted. So we know that, as ever with the Bush administration, the reality is really very far apart from the rhetoric, number one. Number two is that you know who's getting it in the teeth and who's really going to be benefiting from their so-called economic plans. And sure enough, their proposed budget makes it quite clear where their priorities are. Speaking of one which is of particular importance for Danny and I, who are professors here at Carnegie Mellon, is cuts to the National Science Foundation budget. Now, since he and I directly benefit from the National Science Foundation, you can say that anything we say is blatant self-interest. So as a matter of truth in advertising, full disclosure, we'll just say that we both get money from the National Science Foundation. However, I do think that quite apart from the fact that I get money from the National Science Foundation to support my research, that supporting fundamental research is essential for the future of the country, and really ought to be continued. But you see, again, science is a reality, is part of the reality-based community, and the reality-based community is to be sneered at. So we're having, cuts here that the budget decline of $107 million for the National Science Foundation. This is not good. And Danny mentioned earlier the NOAA budget, National Oceanographic and Aeronautic Atmospheric Organization, is having its budget cut by $45 million, which is, we know what that's about. Don't bother us with the facts. We're busy imposing our dogmatic will. So that's a few highlights. There are plenty more where those came from. I think the proposed budget is an outrage, but it seems likely with the Congress having been turned into the Politburo that it's very very likely that this or something very similar to it will pass.
Now, one of the things that occurred to me, what if a state just said, one of the blue states said, we don't like this. It's unfair to the poor. These tax cuts on the rich are much too high, too big. We're going to just tax the rich. We're going to take up the slack, and we're going to use that money to help to make up for the cuts in education. We're going to pump that money into the state education programs and things like that. What do you think would happen if they did that?
Well, they do that to some extent in California, for example. California has now funding its own stem cell research, which is the fundamental biological research. And California is a very large state and can afford to do this to some extent, but it really should be a national priority. But I think the Bush administration, in a way, is really happy to shift these things to the states, because that way they get it off of their books. They don't care about the consequences of these cuts.
Also, I think it's problematic for states to do that. I mean, maybe California can do things like tax the rich higher than other states, but I don't think Pennsylvania can. Many of these states are already losing industry and businesses, and they're competing tooth and nail to attract businesses. And the way they do that is they slash taxes on business, and so it's an impossible solution to propose for states to make up for this. Even if they believe it's immoral what's happening at the national level, they can't just change things.
Yeah.
They can't write it.
I think that's true. I mean, and certainly that's the way companies play it. We've talked about this before and left out. I remember in particular when discussing Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? What was one of his points of the way companies will come in and demand, extort taxpayer money for supporting new construction of facilities and so on, and then walk out as quickly as they walked in, according to what's convenient. And move somewhere else,
state,
send the jobs,
even shut
send
down
jobs
the,
over abroad,
overseas, right?
Whatever they like. So it gives the states less and less leverage, so that everything is more and more controlled by corporate and big money interests, and the average person gets it in the teeth. So the overall trend here has often been observed, particularly in alternative press. It's not as though it requires any great insight to notice it, but it's worth pointing out yet again. I mean, what we see emerging here is a plan, very clear plan, to shift the burden for running the government, the tax burden, from wealth to labor. So they are basically shifting all of the burden for running the society onto the working person to eliminate that burden, any contribution whatsoever, from wealthy people, the ownership society, as Bush likes to call it, and really to return us to Republican utopian oligarchy in which the right sorts of people, namely people like the Bushes, get to run the show and the rest of us pay for it and get working people pay for it. It's really a shocking and sad development. And what always surprises me, is how foolish people are and buying into the nonsense rhetoric and posturing, mm-hmm. when, look, I could say to them, look what's happening. Look what is happening. Look is what is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking a bit more about this, I think, on our next topic after a break. We'll be talking about Social Security. Listeners are more than welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 to discuss this or any other topic you may have on your mind. And you can also reach us by sending electronic mail to bob@leftout.info. We will take a brief break, a musical break, and we'll be back momentarily.